Hello, everybody. My name is Long Jun Luo. Thank you very much for coming to hear this talk. Today, I'm going to talk about our practice in seamless kernel update. You can visit our project from this link. The project name is Nüwa. This is the name of a female god in Chinese mythology. And just to introduce myself a little more, you can call me Luo. I am a software engineer from Huawei and the OpenOLA community. My work mainly involves live patch and seamless kernel update. But to be clear, I am not the one who is the most familiar with this project in my team. However, my teammates think that communities need more young blood. So I really appreciate their trust in allowing me to present our work. And it is my pleasure to give this brief presentation to you. Okay, this talk will be divided into 5 parts. Firstly, I'm going to make an introduction about seamless kernel update, during which time I will compile it with existing kernel update systems in order to illustrate its advantages and problems. Then, I will talk a little about some of the concrete steps we have taken to accelerate the whole process so that key applications and services will not be interrupted. Apart from time, support for kernel modules is also a significant problem. So I plan to dive into how we go about saving and restoring various devices' status. Finally, I will present to you our next development plan. As we all know, the kernel is becoming increasingly complex. For example, even long before 2022, back in 2015, the Linux kernel was updated with 7.71 patches every hour and was given 10,000 patches for each version. However, many users today are becoming reluctant to apply these changes, as this forces them to reboot their systems, which creates unacceptable downtimes for their applications. Live patch is an elegant solution, but unfortunately, it can only work partly in addressing these bugs, and it requires significant programming effort in order to apply changes to the system. For live migration, it does not support parallel devices. When handling large memory, live migration would be a disaster. We have tested live migration in a bare metal server, Kunpeng 920, whose memory is 380 gigabytes. The time it costs is even worse than rebooting directly. So, what about seamless kernel update? Well, the main point of seamless kernel update is to save status of running applications and then to switch the kernel quickly. After the new kernel is working, the status of these applications is then restored. If the whole process is fast enough, from the point of the network, it acts like the application just experiences a package loss. In our practice, we use CRIU, which is a checkpoint and restore tool in user space to save and restore the status of key applications. We also use the KEXEC mechanism to do a kernel switch. However, we meet two main problems here. First, from the beginning of dumping threads, it takes several minutes for these applications to come online again, as it is far beyond the tolerance ability of the network. So we have to take many measures to accelerate it, and I will talk about them one by one in a moment. Another problem is that there are many limitations in CRIU usage, especially that CRIU can't handle the kernel driver status as it works in user space. As we can see from this picture, time cost in the whole process consists of three parts, dumping time, kernel switch time, and restoration time. The main step we have taken in order to reduce the time cost in the dumping and the restoration stages is to avoid the need for memory copy. CIU writes the copy of application memory because it may then be restored in other machines. However, there is no need for us to do it. You can see from here, the image file is quite large. We keep the memory of applications in the kernel and remap it directly when restoring applications. We call it ping memory, which may be easily confused with the concept in the Linux kernel. More technical details can be seen from this picture. When dumping happens, we collect information about application memory and store it in reserved kernel memory. When the new kernel works, these pages will be marked used in the body system. So when these pages get needed, there is no copy operation anymore. We remap them directly. We take a similar approach to handle kernel memory. We create a ping slab controller in the kernel to handle special requests from kmalloc and vmalloc. These pages are in the reserved memory. And we analyze the process of the KEXEC mechanism. Three measures have been taken to accelerate it. The first one is the CPU park. So what exactly is the CPU park? In the original KEXEC mechanism, when the kernel switch happens, all the processors other than the bootstrap processor will be halted and then woken up by the interrupt. In our design, we let these processors spin instead of being halted. Spin means these processors will keep checking a specific memory address until the memory address changes. The complete process goes like this. First, we reserve some kernel memory for the CPU park code and data. And then in the older kernel, if secondary processors receive interrupts, they will execute CPU park code, where secondary processors will spin and wait on an address. After the bootstrap process reboots successfully, it will wake up other processors by writing an entry address to the spin address so that secondary processors can jump to the normal boot up procedure. We have tested the effect of the CPU park in our production environment, as we can see from this data. The CPU park effectively reduces time cost, especially in ARM architecture. Another measure we have taken is to load and decompress KEXEC images in advance, as the kernel image and root file system may be very large. The key point here is we only do necessary things in necessary time. Of course, one main drawback of this measure is we have to reserve some kernel memory for it. Yeah, we are really big fans of reserving kernel memory, right? And in our test environment, time cost has been reduced from 10 seconds to 100 microseconds. The third measure is to defer and enact parallel initialization. Our work is based on two patches from the community, and I know they have not been accepted by the Linux mainline. The first one will defer patches initialization. This is especially important for large memory systems. We only initialize necessary memory before the SMP init stage. After the SMP is enabled, we can handle these patches in parallel. The second one will defer the device driver probe. It is necessary since our production environment has too many kernel modules. The key point here is we need to bring important services like the network online as soon as possible. We can do the necessary initialization first to ensure the restoration of applications. For other initialization, we will do it in parallel when it is possible. Actually, I think more changes are needed for the Linux kernel, especially for the init call mechanism. Yeah, we do have different levels for the init call mechanism. The problem is for the same level, different initialization functions cannot be executed in parallel, and this will waste a lot of time. And now I'm going to talk about how we handle the status of various devices. Applications in user space are easy to handle because their running environments are isolated. But for kernel modules, they share the same namespace with the kernel. It is impossible for us to save and restore all information as the kernel version has probably changed between the seamless kernel update. Things like function API, data structure definitions may be different. Device status include many information, so I just list some important of them. So we can check here. For resources like registers, interrupts, we can just skip its initialization or request again, like I list here. This is how we handle PCI devices. If you have interest, you can find more technical details here. However, for the kernel driver itself, we need some obvious state transfer works to help complete this process, kind of like live patch mechanism. There are two important points here. First, we need partly isolate kernel driver from the kernel. Kernel drivers are managed in the granularity of sections. We rewrite the process of kernel module loading, and for some special sections with fixed suffixes, we will put them into the reserved kernel memory. When these drivers come back, they can reuse their former information again. The problem here is if these sections have function pointers, they cannot use them directly since the kernel has been reloaded. And the address cannot be the same. We create a virtual function table for this. Every time kernel drivers want to make a function call using pointers, they can obtain an updated address from the table. This is kind of like procedure linkage table. And the second, it is only natural that we then need to hook functions in order to do state transfer work. Here we add a driver suspend and restore API. So it is a really rough framework. We can't handle kernel drivers like applications in user space. And therefore, we provide some mechanisms to help complete this process. The drawback here is that the kernel driver codes have to be adapted, which is not always easy work. So we can draw some conclusions here. We frequently use reserved memory to reuse information or resources. It is really an effective measure to save time. And currently, we do not find a universal mechanism to handle kernel drivers. So based on our experience, the adaption of driver codes is necessary. And also, there is still a lot of work needed to optimize the Linux boot process. There are some technicals that I have not mentioned here in detail due to time constraints. Like we add support for CRIU to fully support Unix stream sockets, dump and restore. And we rewrite the process of how CRIU obtains firewall rules to save time. And also we accelerate the process of how ptrace hijack the syscall. CRIU works in user space to make itself less dependent on the specific kernel version. But we pay more attention to the time cost. So in the future, we are going to implement a tool that works both in kernel and user space. Furthermore, we aim to combine live patch mechanism and seamless kernel update to provide an automated solution. We will continue to explore potential solutions for kernel drivers to make themselves more standard and universal. So our ultimate goal is to provide support for virtual machine host update natively in the future. Okay, everyone. That's the end of this little talk on the seamless kernel update. Thanks again for spending your time with me. If you'd like to have any further communications with me or my team, feel free to contact any of these email addresses.
Thank you, Lou, for the amazing talk and also for encouraging new and young blood in the community. I would like to request the audience to please put a huge virtual round of applause for Lou. And also, due to bandwidth constraints, we might not be able to have a live Q&A, but Lou is here with us. If there are any questions, he'll be happy to answer it on the chat. Thank you, Lou, for the talk.